simply like a kebab, simply to the guy at the end of the theater, riding his hall. That was called the church. What other kind of thing can they call the church? Okay, yes, the jury of court, the town council, even a group of animals, according to what we found in secular literature. Jason pointed out Sunday in the Septuagint, sometimes it could be used for an assembly of evildoers. Well, I looked that up after we talked about that, and sometimes we worship an assembly of angels. You know, so the word church means an assembly or group of something. And in our case, we're mostly going to be looking at groups of Christians. Now, we talked about the idea in general. So if you take the Paul persecuted the church, like he said several times, what did he persecute? People, Christians. He went into house after house and drug them off to prison. So individually persecuted Christians, but he was talking about the class of people he persecuted the church. We talked about how Jesus loved and died for the church. What did he love and die for? Us. You know, people who are sanctified and cleansed by baptism. If you can't baptize it, it isn't the church. We talked about the idea of upon this rock I'll build my church. What did Jesus build? People. When did Jesus build his church? He still is. As more living stones are added, people are converted to the Lord, he continues to build his people. The church isn't something we find and get into, like it houses us. We are actually a part of the church. We're part of that building when we're converted to Christ. But there are some times when the word church is used, in fact, the majority of times in the New Testament, where it's not used in general terms for all Christians, but it's used a lot of times for what we call a local church, for a team of Christians that work and worship together in a particular place. And you'll see that a lot of times. For example, I ask the question, how many churches are there? And the answer is one. Or the answer is lots. The churches of Christ and Lucci. Really, we're thinking about churches, congregations, as opposed to all Christians as the church. Let me point out another use of the word. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. There are actually two or three other uses of the word. We'll talk about some of those as we go on. But 1 Corinthians 14 is helpful in seeing another way the word church is used. 1 Corinthians 14, 28. But if there is no interpreter, let the tongue speak evil, be silent in the church, let it speak to himself and God. When it talks about the tongue speakers being silent in the church, what does he mean by in the church there? Yeah, in the church meeting. Now, he couldn't be in the church, universal. When are you not in the church? When you leave the Lord. Or he doesn't be even in the local church. When are you not in the local church? When they remove you or you decide to leave. But we're a part of the church at all times. And he means you're in the church in the actual meeting, the actual assembly. You've got to use the proper formula to speak to church, because it's what you learn in 4 or 5, and so forth. So you've got church meetings that are sometimes called the church. And then I ask the question, but maybe I should pause. That's really basically the review until that last point. You have some questions or comments up to this point. Christians individually, thinking about words that group them together. The way, yeah, that's true in a sense. Though the way may not be talking about socially group as kind of a pattern, but yeah, that's an interesting one. Used several times in the book of Acts. What else? The bride. Yes, that's a good one. The bride of Christ. You can think about the family of God, the temple of God, so forth and so on. There's several words like that. And we understand those as we come across them. So think about this. Let me start with this. What would you call Christians? I'm not talking about the church now. I'm talking about what words used in the Bible to describe the people of God. Not thinking of them as a group, but thinking of individual. What would be the most common terms that are used to describe Christians or a synonym of Christians? Believer. Yeah, believer, but it's not the most common. It says about 12 times. Brethren, over 100 times. Saints, quite a few times, about 60. Disciples, over 100 times, but almost exclusively in the Gospels and Acts, not in the epistles for some strange reason. So you've gotten the biggest ones. There are a couple others that are common. Follower will be disciple. That's good in translation. How about a servant or a slave? Right? You got that? You know how many times the word Christian itself is used? Three. They're the kind of funny. We mostly use Christian. I do too. But they mostly use brethren, disciples, saints, things like that. It's not wrong to use Christian. But that was not the name they used for themselves mostly. In fact, apparently it was mostly used by other people in describing them. Peter does say, if you have to suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed of that name. You know, that's okay. But they mostly use terms like brethren, disciple, saints, believer, etc. They talk about themselves. Just curious, curiosity. It's good questions to know those things. Yes,
Austin. So, like in Philippians 1, where it says, Paul to the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with overseers and deacons, you're assuming that that's many churches in Philippi, as opposed to one church?
No, I'm saying this is a plurality of people. We're thinking about the saints as opposed to grouping them together and thinking about a church.
But they're talking about overseers and deacons.
Yeah. Overseers, deacons of that church, the saints is actually speaking about them individually. But even individually, we have overseers and deacons. There are overseers and deacons of the congregation, but they are each one of us individually as well. But yeah, we'll talk in just a minute, I think we'll get to this idea of the singular, plural, collective. And so when you can think of the saints, you're thinking about them individually. You can group them and call them church. Right, let's talk about, okay, so what name should the church have? What would be the proper title to refer to the church itself? Let's say the local church. What would be the proper title to use to refer to the local church? There's your God. Jason? There isn't one. I think that's the right answer. There was no specific proper name that God ever gave to his people. And so he does describe, he uses the church about 115 times. About 110 of those were the church of the Lord. But how does he use them? Well, a lot of times he just says the church. A lot of times he didn't even give a modifier. It was just the church. Or sometimes he would describe the church by its location. The church at such and such a place. Church in Corinth. Church in, or in a certain place. Sometimes you talk about the church by ownership, the church of God, the churches of Christ. Sometimes you talk about them by membership, the church of the saints, churches of the saints, churches of the Gentiles, church of the firstborn ones in Hebrews chapter 12, church of the Thessalonians. So you can describe the church by either who owns it, who makes it up, or where they meet. Or their location. Sometimes it would be the church in somebody's house. I think normally when it says the church in somebody's house, that means that's what they meant. church, but there was a proper name. There wasn't a specific title. She said the church has to use this title. Any title, any roots, maybe titles are the right word in this. Anything we want to say that's biblical and is correct would be proper description of the church. But we ought to get away from the idea we have one exclusive title that the church is to be called. Now that may provoke some questions and comments and discussion. What do you want to say about that?
So in Acts 2, what were they added to?
They were added to this group of Christians. They were added to what Jesus was building. He was the foundation of their living story being added together to make up his building. officialize ourselves by the government process. I don't know what the word was, but it was necessary to be able to have several things, including to invite people in as preachers and so forth. Nobody remembers the title that somebody put on that. I think the primitive church in the New Testament or something like that. You know, it was something kind of bizarre, but it was correct. You know, but if you ask the members of the church where we were in São Paulo, what church you part of, they would have said, we're not really a denominational church. We're just following life. We're just following Jesus. I think that's a better answer. I think that's what we ought to strive to be. Jason. lesson two. And we're going to do a little grammar exercise. So what's a collective noun? No.
A chain of things taken as a whole.
Yes. That's exactly right. A collection of things taken as a whole. What's an example of a collective noun?
Flock.
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 Flock. Yes, flock. That's right. What is a flock made up of? Geese. Or sheep. Or whatever it is you want your flock to be made up of. So think about this. Why have you thought about sheep? There is a singular, there is a plural, that is a collective. So if your collective is flocks, then your singular is a goose. Yes, possible. church. You're referring to individuals, referring to distinct units, but you're conceptualizing them as a unit.
So maybe from my brain's sake, so if we say the church and the saints of Parkersville, the church of Parkersville, which is a part of churches.
Well, here's the problem. There is not a church part of in the body. So the problem would be, what is the group that contains all the churches? What do you call all the churches? Would that necessarily involve all and only the Christians in Indiana? Well, wouldn't there be simply three churches that aren't in God's church? Yeah. Might there be somebody outside of the church that's in God's church? Yes. So the church, you know, all God's people are part of his unity, is not the same as all the local churches. Those are subtle differences. They'll come into play a little later on as we talk about some other things. Actually, let's get it down as clearly as we can so we understand what we're talking about. So, question comments about that.
And maybe what you just said makes it later, and that's fine, but sort of circling back to my talk on Sunday that I've given a lot more thought to over the last few days, what you just said, there could be a person who is a faithful member of God, serving God, and still not in the council or reached out.
Right, like, sure.
If you're tracking with me, that it's not in a building, physical church.
Yes, so think about the Ethiopian eunuch. When he was converted, was he a part of God's church? Yes. Was he a part of the local church? No. Think about Paul when he went from place to place. He was a part of the church, but he wasn't a part of the local church, at least not initially. So that would be one thing. What about in 3 John, Diotrephes, a lot of it happened preeminence, and he was expelling people from his church. So here were people kicked out of the congregation, but John thought, I'm here. You know, they're not in a church, but they're serving the Lord faithfully. It's not to say that we should be, under ordinary circumstances, a part of a group of Christians. That's the pattern we see in the Bible. There'd be various reasons why we now might not be in any particular moment. And we're trying to evaluate a person based upon the relation with God. That's the most important thing. Vertical relationship is what that means. Yeah, when Paul wrote in Romans 16:16, all the churches of Christ greet you, you realize that was a bit of an exaggeration. You know, he wasn't saying that all of them even knew about the letter, but, you know, all that were around him, all that he knew about were sending him greetings. But let's come to this. Think about a local church and some of the characteristics of a local church. I want to point out several things. This takes a little while, so we'll bleed over into Sunday for sure. Look at Acts 16. We're trying to study inductively. So one of the things we're trying to do is to say, I want to take all the data in the Bible about the church and form conclusions based upon what the data is. So look at Acts 16:5. So the churches were being strengthened in the faith and were increasing in number daily. So the churches, talking about the congregations, how did they grow in number? More people were converted and became a part of those churches. Look at Acts 13, verse 1. Now there were at Antioch, in the church that was there, prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manaen, and Saul. He says some things about each other. But there were those people, the prophets and teachers, in the church that was there. There is a concept of a definite membership of the church. There are people in it, and there are people out of it. So, I alluded to this earlier, but in 3 John, verse 9 and 10, you got the problem with Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence. And, let's see if I can find it here, 3 John 10, for this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does unjustly, accusing us of wicked words, and not satisfied with this, he himself does not receive the brethren either. And he forbids those who desire to do so, and puts them out of the church. So a church has people in it and out of it. Church can grow in number, it can theoretically shrink in number. But I'm saying that a congregation has a definite membership. There are people in, there are people not in. Also know that. Yes. I'm assuming it can come out of the body, the local congregation. Well, I guess he thought it was his church. I know churches who were run by one person. We're not saying this church is quite what it ought to be here. Doctor, he's running it, and he's kicking people out. See where Saul tried to join the brethren in Jerusalem. Barnabas had to kind of intervene to get him accepted. So I think there is the idea that a group decides who they will let be a part of and who they don't. Sometimes that's appropriate. For example, the church of Corinth in verse 5 needed to deliver that fornicator living with his father's wife to Satan, needed to expel him from the church until he repented. So sometimes we have a specific obligation to remove somebody from the congregation. Sometimes it's like the opportunity, the wrong people are being removed. But there is a concept of the definiteness of this group of people who join themselves together. Jason.
The best term. That just makes me think of body, which is not the way we're using the word.
So yeah, I'm not sure about the better term, but there's a definite group of people that are joining themselves together and working together. Let me get this one in. Look at 1 Corinthians 16. Just to add, I think this might be helpful to today. 1 Corinthians 16:1. but the church is a Macedonian, it's like the same. So several times you have the idea of churches in an area. That's the idea of groups of Christians in a particular area. So the church doesn't always be all the Christians in the area. And sometimes we think about Thank you.